Good evening, everyone. Let the record indicate it is 5:04 PM and the Warwick Finance Committee is called to order. First order of business is approval of the minutes of the committee meeting on January 5th.
Move.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Let's move over to the consent calendar docket for right now. Let's get the minutes out of the way. I need a motion for approval of the minutes.
So moved.
We have a motion. We have a second by Councilman Napper. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Okay, we have, because of the last meeting being, having to be rescheduled because of the snowstorm, we actually have two bid sections that we're going to be going through this evening. The first one would be what we would have been doing on January 26th. So we're going to start with that one, and then we'll move into the second one for, that is actually for this meeting. Okay, the first item found on page one is the City of Warwick Medical Pharmacy and Dental Insurance bid. And I would ask the administration to come forward.
Good evening, Lynn Proger, Finance Director.
Good evening, Director. I know that we have spoken to some degree on this item, and I would like you to bring us through the full circle on this. From the inception of the original bid to where we are today, as well as the discussion regarding the net amount, gross amount of the premiums, et cetera. And then if there are any questions from the committee or the council or members of the public, we can go from there. So go to it.
Previously, there's been a little bit of confusion between whether we request funding on a net or gross amount. I am a firm believer that we should be asking for the gross amount. It is about the amount of money that we are paying directly to the trust, not what we pay to the trust versus against the co-share. We have employees paying a co-share who are active. We have retirees doing this too. We have COBRA employees. All kinds of reasons why we would have revenue coming in. I think that this makes it crystal clear that this is how much we need to pay to the trust gross for the current coverage of our current employees, retirees, full stop.
So I know one of the questions that I have is, so how do we go from gross to net? Meaning, what's the actual number that the city pays out at the end of the year for the cost of healthcare?
So my request here is what we will be paying the trust, full
which
stop.
Which would be?
I'm asking for just over $65 million for 2 years.
For 2 years?
Correct.
Okay. And that's what we actually will be paying to the trust?
Hopefully it's not that high, but that is what we're estimating it to be.
Okay, so the anticipated number,
yes,
for 2 years, mm-hmm, is $65,114,000.
Yes.
Now, how does that get reduced?
That gets reduced in the net cost for the city in deductions from active employee checks. I participate in the healthcare plan. There is a deduction off my check every week. That is booked on the revenue side of our books. We also have retirees who contribute. That is comes as a deposit from the pension administrator on a biweekly basis. And then we also have some other employees, COBRA, that kind of thing. Those are much smaller amounts.
So the difference between the contract, I should say the bid, that is expiring on June 30th, which is, we'll use round numbers here, it's 50 million.
Yep.
Compared to the 65 million mm-hmm. round number now. That is, the 50 million was net?
And it was, in fact, net at the time.
At the time?
Yes.
The net was 50 million?
Yes.
Okay.
It was requested as net.
And today, you're asking for approval of a gross of 65 million?
Yes.
So is that difference of 15 million, is that difference? Tell us what attributes or what calc figures into the $15 million increase from the last bid to the current bid. That's what we need to know.
For one, the cost of health insurance has been going up astronomically year to year. So there's the compounding of that. And there's also the cost of all the people paying back. In the general fund, it is $2.6 million just in active returns. There are a number of other places that we get revenues. For the sake of simplicity, I didn't pick up all those other smaller pieces in this, but together it all keeps us currently under the bid. I will admit barely, but it does. I had the purchasing agent go through a whole exercise to make sure that we're still within our legal rights to be paying these bills. But going forward, I'm also factoring in these increases that may be happening in the cost of health insurance and the increase in the co-pays here too, that is in this little letter. I really hope it does not come out to, the percent I've used in this is the 86155, the 155 to get truncated off this letter.
That's per year, correct?
Per year. That is what we were increased this year. So I'm predicting that in the future, hopefully it doesn't come to that. Obviously, if it is not at that rate, we will not be paying that rate.
And that is how you arrived at the total cost of the city increase of 17.36% was mm-hmm. 8.65 mm-hmm. for a two-year
yeah,
period.
And, I mean,
right?
That includes dental as well.
And the numbers that come into play for retirees, mm-hmm. how does that work or play into this? Because there is no copay.
It depends on where you are in the plan. I'm not an expert in that. I do know, you know, dental is actually completely paid for. There's no co-share, they actually pay for it, so it's completely reimbursed. But it depends on where you retired and which group you retired. A number of our plans do have co-shares.
Mm-hmm. And this premium that we're looking to pay, of $65 million, that is because there's been a bid in place, and that mm-hmm. bid has been extended, and it's been extended again, and it's potentially going to be extended again. Mm-hmm. So explain to everyone why you are coming to us for an extension as opposed to going out for bid, and what the bid includes. Is the bid predicated strictly on contractual requirements for providing healthcare services to all of our employees, subject to whatever cost increases we have, et cetera. So if you could just run through that for us.
I don't believe that going out to bid would be in the best interest of the city. The intent of creating the Rhode Island Interlocal Trust was that all the city's town school departments in Rhode Island had the use of their collective numbers. If we go out to bid on our own, we just don't have the clout that they would. We've been advised that our increase of Blue Cross premiums would be higher than at the trust.
But determination was made by having conversations with Blue Cross?
I have not. Well, I've talked to you. I think, did you talk to other? I did not talk to Blue Cross directly. Admittedly, it is through the experts at the trust that I have spoken to. The only other bid that I could see coming in is actually West Bay. They are self-funded, and the city made the decision to not be self-funded quite a few years ago now, just to have the predictability of being able to have a set rate instead of the whims of our grouping having higher claims.
In the past several years, I don't know how far back I need to take that, but in the past several years, as these bids were expiring, has Blue Cross ever bid on any of this, or have they ever shown any interest in bidding on this?
The only interest I've heard of is actually West Bay Community Health. That's been it.
Was West Bay?
Yeah, that's all. And they are also an administrator of Blue Cross.
Uh-huh. Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? I'll yield for the time being.
You?
No.
Councilman Muto?
No.
Hi.
Hi.
Just a follow-up to the going from the gross to the net, mm-hmm. and you triggered something, and I get triggered very easily when it comes to the income side of our city. And you mentioned that we're going out with the gross, give you the authorization of $65 million. Mm-hmm. With, you know, in the past, it was less the copay. But
yes.
This year, or this forward process, mm-hmm. is $65 million going forward, which I am in agreement with.
Right.
Where I'm concerned is that $15 million of copay going back into the general fund that could be potentially used for other items if it's not tacked and directed at.
Yeah, you know, in the general fund, we don't tag a revenue to anything specific
which is my concern.
Right. I mean,
all of a sudden you just got a $15 million fund.
It's not a slush fund. It all falls to the bottom line. Nobody likes to hear that, but that's the way it works. You know, according to GAAP, that is the way that we are supposed to be reporting the co-shares of from employees. Instead of offsetting the expense, we're just booking it as a revenue. I also like booking it as a revenue because it does clearly spell out in our budget what our employees are paying for the benefit. I think it's crystal clear that way.
Well, no, I understand that.
Yeah.
That I agree with. It's more of once it gets into this general fund.
Yeah.
We want to ensure that it is being captured under.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yep.
It's just it's all kind of an expense of the general fund as a whole is how it's looked at. Does that make sense?
It does.
Like kind of making a tiny little income statement off the general fund is kind of a losing battle, you know?
Yep. Okay. So I'm just going to point to the president. One of the ordinance that we want to put forward is the income side. So this is where we want to clarify within that ordinance.
Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, we simplify it here. I think it makes it crystal clear. You know, my predecessor, Peter Schaefer, was trying to advocate for booking benefits across all departments, which is a UCOA style. In which case that would definitely be a quick way to see what each department costs, even with the benefits. We have to do that for the state already. We do it in a simplified way.
It, again, simplified way for accounting standards. It's more of where that $15 million is going and how it's being allocated. So I'll leave it at that. We'll address that in a further ordinance that we're working on going forward. Thank you.
Any other questions from the council? From members of the committee? No. So I just want to take a moment to just follow up with what Councilman Muto said. So to my knowledge, the net amount is what has always been put forward to the council for approval in healthcare. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
I believe so.
Yeah. I don't remember anything different. And it appears to me that it's worked because I certainly haven't been informed of it not working. My concern is what we've spoken about before when this net gross thing came up is that unknown. We're plugging in a gross and looking for a net, but the number in between and where that number ends up is what my concern is. So
yeah, I mean, I know that we've heard talked a lot about net versus gross lately. I just philosophically believe that if you are awarding a, you know, X million dollar bid, I should be able to go into my accounting system and say, yes, this is exactly what we paid the trust. It is within the cap. I think that's important. Mm-hmm. When we pay the co-share as employees, there's also the fact that, you know, my 95 a week goes straight to the city. We don't take that and send it to the trust. It goes to the city as a deduction off a check. So I think that it's important to be bidding as gross. I think it's more transparent that way.
But the problem I have with the transparency is, does the city council and the taxpayers, are we all involved in this transparency? Meaning at the end of the fiscal year, there's roughly about $37,500,000 that will be put out for healthcare coverage for the first year. Mm-hmm. And do we get notified? Do we get informed? I say we, the city council as well as the taxpayers, do we get informed or noticed of what was, I'll use the word returned, and where that money has been allocated?
Yeah, there are two ways that you would know how the city is getting revenue. One would be through the budget process. We project out what the revenues are going to be from year to year. And of course, the actual number gets disclosed in the audit. And if there's any change to a co-share or a benefit within the parameters of a contract, that would be included in a fiscal note to the council as well. So I say that gross is more transparent. I would worry that you think we haven't been transparent. I think that this is even more clear what we are spending in health insurance, if that makes sense. It's what we write to the interlocal trust in checks.
Okay.
Councilman, have a question? No, he's good.
We're all good.
Okay. Any comments, questions from members of the council? Councilman Ricks.
Thank you. Just wanted to be sure to ask for a PCR on this one. And while I'm speaking, a PCR on the next item on the docket once we get to that. Thank you.
Madam Clerk, may we have a PCR, please?
Yeah. Thank you. It's PCR 1326. Anything further, Councilman? No, okay. Any comments, questions from members of the public? Please, just state your name for the record.
Robert Cushman, former Warwick City Councilman.
Thank you, Council President. Just before I get into my questions, I just want to see if we can kind of get some facts on the table concerning this. So when was this originally bid, this contract? What year?
I believe it was 2021.
I think it was.
2021 through 2023. Okay.
Who else bid on this contract?
Do we have the answer to that? The question was, who else bid on this item?
West Bay.
Okay. West Bay was the only one?
To the best of our recollection, it was only West Bay.
Okay. Now, previous to that, there was a Zoom meeting I was looking up in 2021 where Aetna, West Bay, and others. I think, Councilman, you might have held that. I'm just trying to get my facts straight for us. So in 2021, there was a bid process that went in, and you were going to change from West Bay to the Interlocal Trust. And I think at that time, that was held, right? 1 year?
I couldn't
Does anybody
that.
Recall
I don't
that?
Remember.
I don't remember.
Okay. So, all right. So then this is 2021 to 2023. Now, according to the finance agenda, you're requesting this contract go from 7/1/21 to 6/30/2028, or 7 years?
Say that again?
On your council finance packet,
yes.
It says contract period requested 7/1/21 to 6/30/2028. That's 7 years, right?
There was an extension in between as well. So the original was in 21 for I think it was 2 years, and then we extended it, and now we're asking for another extension.
Okay, so the original bid, the original contract is going to go for 7 years total?
Yeah.
Okay.
With extensions.
With extensions. Mm-hmm. Couple questions. Has the city used any of the reserved funds? Well, let me backtrack for a second. Is there any reserved funds associated with the Interlocal Trust right now with this bid? Do we have any reserved funds?
No.
We have none?
None.
Have we used any of those reserve funds to offset healthcare costs in the last few years?
So we did have reserve funds. It was actually from West Bay. We do have a little bit of money left. I will probably be using that to help offset the cost next year in the budget. I did not bring my budget tonight, but if you look in the budget, I think it was $1.2 million. So it's not actually physically sitting with West Bay anymore. It's actually sitting in our bank accounts.
So I just
in a reserve fund.
And if this is off track, you can tell me this is for a different topic. But the city of, I think about a year or so ago when we were setting up the OPEB trust fund, said we're going to take $5 million from our reserve.
Mr. Cushman, let's stick.
No, I know. But the reason I'm asking this is because this has an effect on this bid. Are we still taking $5 million out of our reserve account and putting it into an OPEB trust fund from the money in Interlocal Trust related to this bid?
It's related to this bid?
Well, it's healthcare costs. If you're taking reserve money out of this account and putting it to another account, if healthcare costs go over, you can't use those funds anymore. Are we still doing that?
So your question, I'm not clear on your question. Is your question, is the city taking monies out of the OPEB reserves?
No, let me repeat. A couple of years ago, Mr. Newton came in from Gabriel and Roeder. He put a plan together that we're going to take $5 million from pension money, put it as seed money into the OPEB trust fund. We're going to take $5 million out of healthcare reserve money for a total of $10 million, put it into the OPEB trust fund. Are we still taking $5 million from our healthcare reserve and putting into the OPEB trust fund?
I don't know the answer to that, and I'm not sure that it's indicative of this bid.
Okay.
We're here to discuss the merits of extending this bid for another 2 years and the cost thereof.
All right. The administration, I mean, I think you just said you don't believe
Mr. Cushman, let me interrupt you for a minute, please. email me that question.
Okay.
Because I can follow up on it, but we're not going into that tonight.
All right, so I just heard from the administration, you said you don't believe in going out to bid, it's not in the best interest of the city. Is that correct? Did you just say that a couple minutes ago?
I know it's not going to result in a cheaper health
cost. who decides whether and when to go out to bid next?
I'm sorry?
Who decides when to go out to bid next?
The end of the contract. But in this case, actually, state law states that we don't have to go out to bid for healthcare at all.
Okay, so 20 years ago, I was on the council. One of the big things that I talked about was healthcare. And I put in a series of ordinances to make sure that we didn't just continue to extend contracts, because we did that in the past. And the late council president Solomon and myself, we worked together and we had new ordinances written into the city that require you to go out for a bid. So my question is, and I'm going to read this from the charter in a second. Does anybody from the administration look at the ordinances and make sure that we are following the ordinances when it comes to bidding for healthcare contracts?
That's a question you can submit if you'd like. But again, we're on the issue of this.
Yeah, well, dollars. this is relevant to this. You're increasing a contract for 7 years. This is from the city charter, the ordinance is section 2-20, single health insurance provider and administers for all city-funded labor agreements. Section A, benefits of health insurance or health insurance administration provided in collective bargaining agreements shall be provided through the same insurer and or administrator for all such agreements to be selected after competitive bidding at least once every 3 years. Let me repeat that. Competitive bidding at least one every 3 years pursuant to the Rhode Island state law, the charter of the city of Warwick, and the Warwick Code of Ordinances citywide to cover all employees entitled to such benefits. You're extending this contract for 7 years. You're not going out to bid. You're in violation of this ordinance. Do you agree?
I think that's a good question, and I'll defer to the solicitor to respond to that.
The item's been requested to have a PCR on it, so I'll take some time to review that during this matter, but please continue with the conversation.
Say that again?
I'm going to review the provision and follow up.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
But the item has already been requested to have a PCR, so it is off the consent calendar as a standalone item.
So I'm saying that,
Mr. Cushman, what's the full description of that ordinance, please?
This is section 2-20, the code of single health insurance provider and administrator for all city funded labor agreements. And no disrespect at all, but you need to follow the ordinance. I don't think any individual person could say, I don't think it's in the best interest of the city. Let me just tell you, 20 years ago,
you have 2 minutes, sir. Okay,
Councilman President Torres and Mayor Aradesian continue to request a continuation of Blue Cross Blue Shield. We went out to competitive bidding. We reduced the administrative cost, very contentious at the time, from $100 per person to almost 30-something. We saved the city tens of millions of dollars going through a competitive bid process. And I think that you need to hold this now, because I think that you need to go out for a competitive bid. You cannot extend this again for 7 years. Every 3 years, you need to go out for a competitive bid. That's clearly what the ordinance says. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I will note that we will hear from our council solicitor on that matter, which appears as though the ordinance states something different than what we're hearing right now. So Any other members of the public?
Rob Cody, Ward 7. So on page 2 of your request to extend this contract, and the bottom paragraph, paragraph 1 from the bottom, you talk about the increases, the historical increases. And you say historically increases average 5.5 to 6.2, and less than 1% for Delta Dental. And then you say, however, our most recent increases were 8.6% and 5.4%. So I'm assuming that's for the last 2 years?
Yes.
Okay, so that's a total of the healthcare went up 14% in the last 2 years. Would you agree?
I don't remember what it was 2 years ago, but I do know last year it was
8.6 and 5.4.
Yeah.
That's 14%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could you tell me how much the employees' copay went up in the last 2 years?
It depends on where you are in your, the which bargaining unit you are in. The fire is 20% with the 5% cap that you know about. Other employees pay 18, 19%.
So not what they're paying. I'm asking how much from what they were paying did their co-share go up each year?
I don't have what it was annually, but I can tell you what it is today.
Okay, but that's irrelevant. So my point is, if healthcare went up 8.6% last year, what I want to know is how much did the employees' copay go up last year to offset what the taxpayers are paying?
Municipal and police went up 8.6% as well. The fire went up 5%.
Fire went up 5%.
Correct.
So why didn't it go up 8.6%?
Per contracts.
Okay, so that's, so in the contracts we have, no matter how much healthcare goes up, they're going to say they're going to have a set price and they're not going to go up. And why would one municipal bargaining?
Mr. Cody, contracts are not part of what we're here to talk about.
Sure, but increases.
Not that I disagree with you, by the way.
But this is not about the contracts. This is about the increases. So my point is, if every year healthcare is going up, who's paying for the increase to the healthcare? Who's paying for the benefit that the increase of the healthcare benefit goes to the employee, right?
Excuse me, that's a great question, but it's not a question for this item.
Sure it is, Mr. Lattisaw. You right here on your proposal, mm-hmm. you're saying that healthcare went up 8.6% last year.
Correct.
So I want to know that 8.6%, mm-hmm. who's paying for that 8.6%? If that 8.6% equates to X amount of millions of dollars, what percent of that X amount of millions of dollars do I pay for versus what the employee pays for?
Now, I'm going to put out what I think that is. And that 8.6%, whatever the dollar numbers are, that is what the employee would be paying towards, let's say, their 20% copay. So if they're 20%, if the healthcare cost today for this plan, A plan, is $20,000, and the copay is 20%, that's $4,000. If that 20% goes up by 8.6%, depending upon the contract, which is in place, it could increase by a percentage of that total amount, or it could be capped on a percentage. And the director just alluded to that.
So it's not a wash then. It's not even across the board, right? So healthcare goes up 10% next year. That doesn't necessarily mean that the employee is going to absorb that 10%. A portion of that's going to go to the taxpayer, correct?
Okay. So we've.
That's all I need to know.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else from members of the public? Any other questions or comments from members of the public? Okay, Director, do either you or the personnel director have anything further to add to this?
Nope. Do you have more questions?
I don't have any more questions at this time.
No more concerns.
We have
PCR.
Solicitor, it appears as though we're going to have 2 to 3 PCRs. Do you suggest that we vote on these individually or vote on them individually after we go through this first half of the bid package?
Please provide a recommendation on a PCR as they come off the...
As we get them.
And as it pertains to this first item, I would recommend no recommendation while we research further.
Say that again?
On this first item, PCR 1326, if the committee would be so inclined, no recommendation may be the appropriate recommendation while we research this further.
I make a motion.
Go ahead.
As per the solicitor, no recommendation.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion. We have 2 seconds to send this to the full council floor without a recommendation. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. Okay, thank you all for that. Next item, item two, found on page 4, Neptune cold water meters. Good evening, Director. If you could just identify yourself for the record, please.
Jerry Willett, Director of Water.
Okay, and if you could get close to the mic, because the acoustics is bad in here, and I'm getting older and my hearing's not so good either, which I just found out. So,
you just found out.
Councilman, there's a difference between hearing and not listening. Director, go ahead. Tell us about your request for $550,000 for cold water meters.
The Water Division recommends awarding the bid 2026-308 Neptune cold water meters for a period of 2 years, from March 27, 2026 through March 26, 2028, to Ty Sales LLC in the amount of $550,000.
Okay, so we just recently increased this bid from $350,000 to $450,000 mm-hmm. because of encumbrances and further anticipated expenses to finish out this contract period, correct?
Correct.
So that brought you up to $450,000. My question and concern is, why are you coming before the city council for an additional $100,000, which increases your $350,000, I didn't do the math, but by two-thirds? Why justify to me, anyways, why you need an additional $100,000 over the increase that we just presented?
So the last...
Councilman, excuse
yes.
me, Chris Moretti, Public Works. This is not an additional $100,000. This is a brand new bid award. So they went out to bid, they received the bids, they reviewed the bids, and they're making a new bid award for the period that begins March 27th of 2026. So this has nothing to do with the bid that was presented to you at a previous meeting.
So that I'm still not clear.
This is a completely new bid for cold water meters.
It's a new bid.
Yes, it has nothing to do with the last one that was presented.
So the bid came in for $550,000.
That's what the department's requesting for a 2-year period that begins March 27, 26
exactly.
through March 26,
28. Got it.
So this doesn't have anything to do with the bid that they presented to you previously for $100,000 that expires on March 25, 26.
Okay, so let me rephrase the question. I'll take the word bid out of my communication. The last item that we had for this particular product initially was $350,000. That's what we approved. Then the city came back to us and said, we don't have enough money. We need to buy more meters, whatever. We need an additional $100,000. and that was approved just recently. Now we're coming and saying for the upcoming bid for from March 26, 2026 to March of 2028, we need an additional 200,000 over the first number that came in of 350. So I don't know what, you know, the moving parts of this are appearing. What I see is the last bid was 350. The department came back to the city council and said, we can't do it. We need more money. We need another 100,000. And the council approved that. Now we're saying we still need another 100,000 more to go through this next year. And my question is, why? If initially the department came, and I know this was before your time, Director, so I'm speaking at you, not like directing.
Understood.
This was before your time. The department came to the city council and said, we need 350,000 for cold water meters. And for all the right reasons. We have old meters, we have bad meters we need to fix, we have breaks, et cetera. All the right reasons. Then you come back and say, well, we don't have enough money. We need another 100,000 to get us through this particular contract period, this bid period. Now we're saying, in addition to that, we need another 100,000. Tell me why you need an additional 100,000 more than you spent on the 450,000 for the last bid or the last year. Now, I'm going to interject another question in that. And that question is, what is left currently in the $100,000 that the city council approved? So, two-part question. What first answer?
I know.
First question, what is left from the 100,000 that the city council approved to increase the original bid at 350?
As of today.
Second part of the question, Second part of the question is, why are you requesting an additional 100,000 over the most recent award, which technically is $200,000 more than the first, or about 60, 65% more? So that's my questions. Thank you.
As of today, the spending authority is $68,212 left in it.
Stay closer to the mic, please.
$68,212.
It's how much?
$68,212.
Okay, that's left right now.
As of today.
Is that including encumbrances?
Yes.
So that's net of all encumbrances. Are we sure?
On the meters?
Okay, I apologize. There's some outstanding encumbrances.
If someone's going to be commenting alongside of the director, please come to the podium, identify yourself, and put it on the record.
Hi, Francis.
Hi.
Purchasing director. So he might not understand the encumbrances part of it. So whenever they make out a PO for any invoices that come from Thai sales, it's per invoice. So if the invoice is $5,000, they'll pay $5,000. If the invoice is $10,000, they'll pay $10,000. They don't make out a PO of $100,000 and draw down from there. So that's an encumbrance.
Okay, so we've just been told that there's about $68,212 left out of the $100,000.
So that'll be the bid cap balance.
Okay. But does that balance include encumbrances? Because, of course, if
so they don't do encumbrances at all. So basically, if that's all if the bid cap, that's the number of the bid cap balance, so the spending authority balance. So from the $100,000, this is what they have left.
They have left 60. Yeah. All right. Yep. Let me rephrase the question.
Okay.
The balance you have today is $68,212. Are there any invoices that are outstanding that need to be paid out of the $68,212?
No.
None.
No.
Okay. Okay, so let the record show that the balance today is $68,212, and there are no encumbrances, there are no outstanding invoices or debts that have to be paid out of the $68,212. And we are about 6 weeks, 7 weeks away from the expiration of the contract, which was kicked up to $450,000. Do you have any expenditures or orders that will be placed between now and the end of this contract?
Yes.
You do?
Yep.
Okay. And do you envision that to pretty much eat up the $68,000?
Correct.
Okay. And so you'll end up with, you're flat for the year. You've got what you need. You had the extra $100,000 that took care of what you need for this year. Now, let's talk about why you need another $100,000 over what you spent this year.
Because it's a two-year contract, and we went
over. What?
It's a two-year contract.
Two-year contract,
so
okay.
So it stands to reason if we needed another $100,000 this year, then to avoid this happening again, I'm asking for an extra $100,000 for each year. Meters have gone up. We're replacing more meters, and I believe that to be what we're going to spend.
Wasn't the other contract, the one that we're going to be getting over now,
mm-hmm.
Wasn't that a two-year contract as well?
Yes.
Okay. No?
Sorry, Bill Facendi, Chief of Staff. That was a one-year contract.
It was a one-year contract.
So this contract is asking for $225,000 of spending authority per year.
Okay, so now we're getting somewhere. The previous contract, it was a one-year contract. It ended up at $450,000.
As I'm told, yes.
For 1 year.
Yes.
Now you're coming to us for $550,000 for 2 years.
Correct. So the water department never knows how many meters they're going to install. So they ask for spending authority based on what they think they're going to install. So.
Okay, so I'm going to put my question to Councilman Napper. Councilman Napper, you say it's on the screen. Where does it say that this current bid is for?
I'm looking at the what we just approved in early January.
Okay.
And it says on the bid package that was presented that day for the $100,000 increase that no change to the contract period. Contract period is March 27, 2025 through March 26, 2026. I can enlarge that for you.
Make it bigger. Can you go bigger than that?
I can't.
I'm not kidding.
I know.
So it's 1 year.
Okay.
So, Director.
Yes.
It's substantially less than. You're anticipating substantially lower spending during the calendar years if you're requesting so much less for a two-year period?
My understanding was that 350 was for 2 years, and that's how I based.
So I would assume then you'd probably want some time to correct your bid request. If you're understanding that the 450 was for a two-year period, and then truly it was a one-year period, it would seem that you're probably undershooting your request by $300,000 at least.
So since I came on, I've looked at this 7 ways from Sunday, and I believe the 550 for 2 years is actually a conservative estimate.
So you're anticipating roughly $200,000 less in spending year over year for the next 2 years? You just testified on that you water meter costs go up.
No, my estimate was 350 for 2 years. What my understanding was, it was 350 for 2 years.
Right, but your understanding was wrong. So let's look at it eight
Correct.
Ways from Sunday. Do you
Correct.
Need some time to correct your bid because you are under, you're going to be over budget?
I do not. There are other factors in my decision.
Excuse me.
I broke it down.
Councilman Napper. So, clearly there's some misunderstandings here with the term of the contract. with what is being requested and what is needed. My concern, particularly my concern, is there's nothing in this position paper that speaks to what was the previous, was it 1 year, 2 years, or whatever. With that said, I'm not going to belabor this discussion any longer, and I'm going to make a motion to hold this until the next meeting, which is February 23rd.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. I'm sorry. Yes, Madam Clerk. PCR 1426, that's a hold until February 23rd. I'm just going to make a general comment here. So going forward, I'm going to continue to make motions to hold anything that this information that should be presented to us is in the package. And if it's not, such as this item, such as an explanation between what the net amount is and what the gross amount is, if these things are not clear to us sitting here on the Finance Committee of the Council, I doubt very much that they're going to be clear to the members of the public who do not engage in this day to day. So I just want to make that clear. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, have half-hour conversations anymore. Next item is purchase and delivery of ICE bumper cars. It's item number 3, found on page 24.
We have PCR on that.
We have, for the ICE. Oh, correct. I'm sorry. Let's go back to the Neptune coal meters. We need a motion on the PCR 1426.
Motion. What's our next meeting date?
It is February 23rd, Councilman.
Make a motion to hold until February 23rd.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay. Okay. Next item, 2026-347. Excuse me. Director. Madam Clerk. Okay. No, I don't know. Did you have anything? Okay. Okay. Great. Thank you. Item number 3, found on page 24. Okay, Director, identify yourself for the record, please.
Good evening, Tom Rourke, Greenwood Credit Union, City Hall Plaza.
Director, could you just go right to the mic? Sure. I'll pull it up. I know you're tall, but...
yeah. Tom Rourke, Greenwood Credit Union, City Hall Plaza.
Okay, thank you. So go ahead.
Good evening, Council members. City Hall Plaza is requesting the purchase and delivery of 14 bumper cars from ICE Bumper Cars International for the amount of $123,590 under Section 56-62 of the City Code of Ordinances to be used year-round at the Greenwood Credit Union City Hall Plaza. The recommended vendor provides specialized purpose-built bumper cars that meet safety standards and are compatible with the existing rink operations. Utilizing this vendor ensures operational reliability, minimizes risk, and avoids the cost associated with testing or adapting alternative products. The addition of bumper cars offers an inclusive activity for individuals who may not be comfortable or have interest with traditional ice skating, including families, children, and first-time visitors. This attraction broadens participation and ensures the event center is welcoming to a wider range of users. In addition, bumper cars increase usage during non-peak skating hours and special event periods, maximizing the value of the city's existing ice and event space infrastructure without requiring permanent modifications. The bumper cars can be utilized on the concrete surface throughout the non-skating seasons, making the facility a year-round entertainment destination for families. The addition of bumper cars to the event center creates a new revenue stream through ticketed sessions, special events, and group rentals. These revenues help offset the costs associated with the event center and support long-term financial sustainability for the City Hall Plaza. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Director. I'm going to hold on my questions for the time being. I have a lengthy list of questions that were asked and answers for the most part, received, but I'm going to defer to my colleagues on the committee. We have Councilman.
I have a general comment.
Stop the general.
Go ahead.
Director, thank you. Just a couple of general comments on this. I had submitted some questions, well, several questions to the chief of staff, and he was gracious enough to provide me with the information that I requested. I know we have budgetary issues that we're staring down the barrel of, and this is a large expenditure for a leisure item. However, that stated, I think that the estimation on the wintertime revenue, probably a little generous, given that we didn't really anticipate any down days and we kind of maxed that out. But I think on the flip side of that coin, the expectation of revenue throughout the rest of the year when they can be used without the ice is fairly low. Even that said, with the life expectancy of these items, I think it's fiscally responsible for us to look at what these are going to return us net over the next X amount of years. And for us to recoup the initial investment, these then become a generating revenue, a revenue generator for the city. And I think that an investment that into infrastructure that generates revenue over the long term is a sound investment for the city. So while I find that there are some calculus problems with how we got to where we are for revenue expectations, I do find that this is likely going to pay for itself over the next couple of years, maybe 2.5 years to get like at net zero, and then we're going to be generating revenue with these cars. So I, for one, am supportive of this, given that it is a long-term expectation of generating revenue for the city. Even though we might take an upfront hit now, the money is in the budget that we approved. Thus, I am one in support. But I would just caution you in the future to plan for some days, some down days, like when we're anticipating, you know, the ice bumper cars being used at a maximum amount of time for the maximum possible capacity. I think that's a bit generous. So maybe just allocate that out a little bit in your position papers moving forward. And then I think those are more palatable as far as how do we get to the calculus of numbers that we see presented. So I appreciate you taking the time to explain and put this forward. And I think it's a good long-term investment for the city, and things like this should be taken into consideration to purchase in other areas around the city.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Foley.
Thank you. I'm in full support of this for everything. Everything Councilman Napper said. In addition, in Ward 1, since I became the councilman, we've done a number of community projects that have benefited the community, the citizens, and the future of the city. Investments in North Country Club, a walking track, investments in Bishop Park, updating that playground. And this is just another step. I know the mayor had did a social media post about the potential of purchasing this. I follow the mayor on that social media platform, and the comments and the feedback from the community is overwhelmingly popular. And the city council, one of our jobs is to listen to our constituents and the citizens, not just people who show up at the council meetings. Not everybody can make it here. And everything that I have received and emails, text, or whatever in regards to this item has been positive. All the feedback on what is currently going on at the outdoor rink has been positive. And for that reason, I will be voting for it. Thank you.
Councilman Muto.